Ecclesiastes chapter 1 is really the text for the lesson, chapter 1 verse 12 through the beginning of chapter 2. I hope you're taking the time with your class to emphasize the scripture memory, and you'll note how it's been given to us as the focal point of these lessons right here. So as you're holding your place there in Ecclesiastes, you want to make note of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, because that's this week's memory verse. Wouldn't it be great? Challenge your class. It'd be great if they learned, just determined for every one of these 13 lessons, they learned the Bible memory verse. That's 13 verses that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And beginning on that each week, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Of course, that last phrase, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And that's really the emphasis here, Revelation 4:11. Now, back in Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, you'll remember, and want to just refresh the minds of your class. Some, not everyone that you have this Sunday was here last week, so they'll be seeing this series for the first time, and just getting the first introduction to it. But we're talking about Solomon, and my mind is still swimming with the idea of Solomon and his glory and his the splendor of his kingdom and what the Lord gave him and allowed him to enjoy, and gave him wisdom, which he asked for, and gave him riches on top of that, far beyond what anyone could even imagine. And we'll see even in this lesson, as Christ compares him, Christ uses him as an example in the New Testament. But this whole idea, this book of Ecclesiastes, the sermon, 12 chapters as it's been recorded for us, as God's Holy Spirit gives it, we have it in this scripture, and the 12 chapters, this sermon that Solomon gives, talking about life and the futility, the vanity of life without God. And he said, I accumulated everything. I had everything. Anything I wanted, I got. I obtained it. And he says it was all vanity without God, every bit of it. He said, I accomplished everything. I learned all there was to, all I could learn. His labor, he enjoyed it. It drove him. But he says, I found out that none of it could satisfy. The empty king. That was last week. The empty king. Now here we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. You might have your class this week underline that. Under heaven, things that are done under heaven, over 25 times. Under heaven, under the sun, talked about in this book. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Verse 18 says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Solomon says, I accomplished it all, gave it all. Verse 17, and I gave my heart to know wisdom. You'll read a little phrase as you're preparing and reading the book, the reading material this week. And the question is, to what or to whom have we given our heart? Solomon says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. People give their heart today to lots of different things. Lots of different things. Their job, hobbies, people. Solomon says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. What Solomon gave his heart to. So he finally gets to it, and he says here in chapter 2, verse 1, and I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He says, what's the use? He says, it's all vanity, vexation of spirit. I've learned it all. So he said, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to live it to the fullest and enjoy the pleasure. Just whatever I can sap out of it, that's what I'm going to get. That's where he came to. That's what we're talking about right here. Created for pleasure. Well, were we created for pleasure? Solomon says, I will prove thee with mirth. Enjoy pleasure. Were we created for pleasure? Well, yes, we were. That's what we're going to talk about. We were created for pleasure. But whose pleasure? For whose pleasure were we created? Take you back to Revelation 4:11. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything functions best when it's used the way God designed it to be used. Have you ever had to make do with some tool? My wife's an expert at it, you know, nailing in the nail with a, you know, whatever. whatever's handy. It's usually not a hammer. And some things work. You can improvise. You can make some things work. But nothing makes a task quite fulfills a task like having the right equipment, having the right tool, exactly the right tool. And God says, as His Word declares, everything in your life and in my life functions best when it's used exactly as God designed it. So what about this thing of pleasure? Created for pleasure. Were we created for pleasure? Yes, but we were created for His pleasure. And when we can understand that, what God's Word says about created for His pleasure, and understand what that means, then we will enjoy pleasure, because that's how God designed it. When we understand we're created for His pleasure. That's what we're talking about right here. Created for pleasure. Now look at some things quickly. These three things that you'll see from this passage of Scripture. And lots of Bible verses here, so note them. We won't turn to all of them this evening, but you'll want to make sure that you get them into your class this week and to emphasize the Scripture as it's brought out right here. First, we see the truth changed. The truth changed. Romans chapter 1. If you take Romans chapter 1 and head down to about verse 21, you see the degeneration of humanity. And people that think that everything's getting better and better need to read Romans chapter 1. And they'll be reminded that it's not. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Created for pleasure. Our world today, the devil has changed people's mind, or has convinced people that we were created just to enjoy pleasure. That's what we're talking about here. The truth changed. Now, in fact, the truth never changes. Truth is always truth. But the devil's job, since the creation of man, the devil has been about deceiving man and changing the truth as God gives it in His Word and making man believe something else. Remember the Garden of Eden? He said to Adam and Eve, you can eat that fruit. I know what God said, but it says you can take that fruit. He says, you'll not surely die. You'll not surely die. Well, he lied. Any surprise there? No. And it's what he's been doing for these 6,000 years. Same thing. Just lie, one lie after another. And gets man to accept that. Change the truth. The truth changed. And just as the devil changed the truth about lying back there in the Garden of Eden, so he wants to do in your life, and so he wants to do in my life. Whatever the situation. And change the truth of God into a lie. If you ask the natural man, they'll say, pleasure, that's what I'm after. I want to be happy. What do you want out of life? I want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Just pleasure. Just want to be happy. Now, people search for that in lots of different things, but just want to be happy. That's the natural man. But that's the error that Satan has convinced us. Because God says, created for pleasure? Yes, but for whose pleasure? The Bible says, for thy pleasure. For God's pleasure we were created. That's the pleasure that we're talking about here. The truth has been changed. And the devil has perverted the truth in this idea of man searching for pleasure. So we've got a whole generation, our whole society, I don't suppose it's any different now than it's been for the last 5,000-6,000 years. Our whole society just after one thing, pleasure, just seeking pleasure. Because that's the natural man, that's what the natural man does. Remember, God says, man's ways are not my ways. He says, you were made for my pleasure. The truth, we see that the truth was changed. Secondly, we see the tragic consequence. The tragic consequence. It's not possible for man who is living a lie to find satisfaction. You know, Hebrews 11:6, you'll see the reference there. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are created for His pleasure. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. This interesting verse of Scripture right here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6. Write it down as you see it there. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, and you'll see it emphasized in your reading material. It's specifically, Paul's writing Timothy here and specifically speaking about a situation involving widows. But listen to this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Living in pleasure, dead while you live. Dead and don't know it. So as this world is seeking pleasure, if you in your life seeking pleasure, the Bible says that we're dead and don't even know it. Because that's not the purpose for which we were created. Dead and don't even know it. Titus chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. Titus 3 verses 2 and 3. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes, now get the list, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the natural man, all those things. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. That's the tragic consequences. And people pursuing the pleasures of life can't be happy. That's what Solomon says. And the tragic consequence is what? You see it listed right here? The tragic consequence is not only an unsatisfied life, because that's not how God designed our lives to be. So it's an unsatisfied life, but not only that, it's a Christless eternity. Much more tragic. Unsatisfied life and Christless eternity. Those are the tragic consequences. The tragic consequence. So the devil changes the truth, convinces us that seeking pleasure is the way to go. And then we see the tragic consequence of living a life without faith, because it is impossible to please God, a life without faith. The tragic consequence. Then finally we see trust in Christ. And this is the great hope. This is the great hope. Trust in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. You know, you're familiar with the passage of Scripture. God's Word says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Now watch this. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Created for pleasure? God's Word says that God, if God so loved the world and He gave His Son, then how shall He not with Him, with that gift, shall He not freely give us all things created for pleasure? I can't earn it. You can't earn it. Isaiah says that all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. Nothing I can do to earn that favor of God. But God's Word says that God, if He gave us His own Son, will He not freely give us all things to enjoy as well? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're talking about trusting Christ. And we know that all have sinned, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we are sinners, Christ died for us. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's trusting Christ in salvation. And we believe that He came to earth and died on the cross and was buried and rose again so that we might have eternal life. That's trusting Christ. But that's not where it ends. Trusting Christ also is a matter of what we're talking about in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, as Christians. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, how is that? That's trusting Christ. That's trusting Christ. So not only the truth changed and the tragic consequence, but to trust Christ. Look at this verse of Scripture. A precious phrase right here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 30. Luke 12 and verse 30. Christ is speaking. He just got finished telling His disciples the parable of the rich fool. And you know, the man had everything and he wanted to get bigger. He wanted more, wanted more, wanted more. And Christ says in Luke chapter 12 in verse 20, verse 22, take no thought for your life what you shall eat. Now that's interesting. He's telling His disciples this. And they're people that are used to working hard for everything they had. And He said, don't worry about it. Don't take no thought of it, what you shall eat. Verse 24, consider the ravens. Verse 25, consider your stature. Verse 27, consider the lilies. And there you see in verse 27 where Christ talks about Solomon. And He says, Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't taken care of like the lilies of the field that God cares for. The grass, consider the grass. Look at verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. That's the natural man. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Sure you do. Verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What did Romans chapter 8 say? Shall he not with him also freely give us all things created for pleasure? All these things shall be added to you. Now look at this beautiful verse 32. Can you see Christ as he's speaking to his disciples right here? And hear the compassionate voice when he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Created for pleasure. Whose pleasure? God's pleasure. And as God is pleased, as we live to please God, so our life becomes fulfilled. Because that's God's design. Created for pleasure. The truth chains, a tragic consequence, but trusting Christ. Number one, be sure you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Nothing could be worse than living on this earth and dying without Christ and spending a Christless eternity. Nothing worse than that. Understand, secondly, that you're not to constantly seek your own pleasure, but to live for God. Remember, as God designed it, that's where we draw contentment from life. Created for pleasure, yes, but not to seek our own pleasure. We're created for His pleasure. And as we please Him with our life, as we follow Christ, as I follow Christ in my life, then He's going to freely give me all things because He knows I have need of things. And that's the pleasure that I can enjoy, following Christ and living for Christ. Trust Christ in salvation. Trust Christ to meet our needs. Anything in our lives that does not please the Lord Jesus Christ should be yielded to Him. You say, I can't give this up. I can't quit that. Yield it to Christ. Yield it to Christ. It doesn't please Christ. Yield it to Him for His pleasure. That's the idea here. That's the lesson that Solomon gives us. Created for pleasure, for the pleasure of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And once again, the opportunity to study it and prepare for this Sunday. I pray that you'd help our classes, help these teachers, and bless them as they prepare for this lesson. And as we visit this week and work getting people here on Sunday. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.